I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Phil Nunes. Phil is the executive director of the Southern Region for Volunteers of America of Greater Ohio. And Phil, a lot of people have heard of Volunteers of America. I know I have, but I'm not exactly sure who you actually serve and what you do.
Volunteers of America, we've actually are a national organization. We've been around since 1896 in the nation. And the services that we provide are, it's an array of services. So we work with the veteran population and try to assist people who need transitional housing assistance services. We have a lot of affordable housing sites. Actually, Volunteers of America is the second largest affordable housing provider in the country, where we have a lot of what are called HUD 811 or HUD 202. And basically that means either for people with disabilities or elderly populations that we provide subsidized housing for. We also provide services for families in need of housing assistance. And we also have here in the area a reentry program as well that is geared towards helping people who are readjusting back to society from incarceration to get back on their feet and hopefully not come back into the system. We also do a lot of other services, like we have an Operation Backpack coming up that gets a lot of donated goods for kids returning to school.
The name Volunteers implies to a lot of people that you have a large staff of people that you've recruited that aren't paid. That's not really what the volunteer means in your name, is it?
No, it's not. And we're a faith-based organization. And we also, back when we were formed in 1896, volunteers took on a different meaning back then. And volunteers really were more almost defined as uplifting or helping other people. So that was really why the name Volunteers of America was chosen. Obviously, over time, volunteers have really had a much more refined or constricted definition, but a lot of people confuse us.
You recently opened a facility in St. Bernard. How is that going?
It's going terrific. It's actually a HUD 202 elderly affordable housing for senior citizens. We are actually officially full. We finished construction about 2.5 months ago and took applications for eligible seniors that needed subsidized affordable housing. And literally, we this week are moving in our last tenants.
When you also have a shelter for homeless veterans, is that full as well?
It is, actually. Sadly, we have a long waiting list to get into that program. And that is a transitional housing program for veterans who are either homeless or imminently may be homeless. And there, we're trying to work with them to build the skills that they need to get a job again or get their disabilities issues ironed out, and just to go on to live self-sustaining lives. So sadly, with our greatest asset in the country, with the veterans, right now we're seeing younger returnees from the Iraq and Afghanistan conflict that are coming home to an economy that's not in really good shape, and housing is a really big issue.
How do you reach out into the community, Phil, to get support, to really make a difference for these people that you just mentioned, elderly people, our veterans, some of our most treasured assets, really, in our communities?
You know, we definitely work with a lot of organized organizations that currently are working around those issues. So the Veteran Services Network, for example, is very active, and we're very much a part of all of the housing and homelessness and other veteran with the Veteran Medical Center locally. So, and on the other front, with the Affordable Housing Advocates Group here and are in the greater Cincinnati area, we work with them as well on a lot of getting the word out about all of our locations and services we're here to provide.
So if someone listening today either knows someone that may be able to benefit from some of these services or would like to help support Volunteers of America, how can they reach you?
Well, they can reach us either through our website, Volunteers of America of Greater Ohio, voago.org.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Phil Nunes. Phil is the executive director for the Southern Region for Volunteers of America of Greater Ohio. And Phil, I know Volunteers of America provides really a lot of social services to groups that really need social services, like elderly, homeless, veterans. But one of the projects that you've been involved with recently is Operation Backpack. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
First of all, it's our second annual Operation Backpack, and it's really geared towards trying to get together and collect a lot of going back to school supplies for kids who may not be able to afford to, or their families may not be able to afford to purchase. Campaign this year kicks off on July 22nd, and it's going to run through August 11th. It's basically, again, we want to prepare the homeless or at-risk children with the tools they need to start back to school. What we really are asking for from the community is for corporations to sign up with us, maybe make pledges, either through donation of materials or actually money, so that we can go purchase the needed supplies for these kids.
You're absolutely right. Things that many of us take for granted, many of our kids go to school with a full backpack. These kids don't have that. And so I just want to thank you for putting the Operation Backpack together. It's just an amazing thing because, again, we take things for granted. And, you know, as a community, it really is our responsibility to make sure that we're helping the people that need the help, because bottom line, we're going to pay for it one way or the other.
Couldn't agree with you more. And especially in today's day and age, we're still coming out of a recession. A lot of families and a lot of people that are not stereotypical families. There's just so many people that are in need of these services. And quite frankly, as we know, I mean, the school systems have pushed off to the parents a lot of times. A lot of the supplies that may be used to when we all were growing up were provided by the school system. So it really is a very much needed materials and assistance for people.
Well, for some of these school area, these school districts where the kids are economically disadvantaged, they don't have that kind of support. So the kinds of things you're doing with Operation Backpack is remarkable. That's wonderful.
And kind of at the older end of the spectrum, or at least somewhat older, you do a lot with homeless veterans as well, don't you?
We have a facility in Mount Healthy area that we opened about a year ago, and it's a 54-bedroom style for homeless veterans or veterans who may find themselves homeless. And it's both, actually, we're serving both men and women out of that location. It's sad that it's a much needed issue that needs to be addressed. And the veterans come given great service to this country, and they're coming home, finding themselves hitting bad economic times, and just even the stress and the pressures of war. A lot of our younger returnees coming from Iraq and Afghanistan. There's a really strong need, and we all know, I mean, we all can imagine in our lives, housing is one of the most important things we all need to provide a secure and bright future. So we're really working hard. Individuals can stay at our program up to 2 years as they're really getting on their feet.
Well, are you seeing any trends that things are getting better for people out there?
Well, I think things are continuing to, unfortunately, continue to worsen a little bit. And it's mainly, really, if you just think, all of us know, our economic situation in the country's been really trying to rebound over the last few years. But the impacts of foreclosures and the impacts of jobs being outsourced are just deleted altogether. The unemployment obviously has impacted housing and all of the other fruits of life that we all need to have to succeed.
And if folks listening would like to learn more about Volunteers of America, how can they get that information?
They could go on our website, which is it's volunteersofamericaofgreaterohio.org or VOAGO.org, or they could call our local number here at 513-381-1954.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner, and Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is Business Wise. Today, Tom, I want to talk about an issue that I think people may not want to think about, but certainly this is the best time of the year to trim your tax bill if you take proper steps and execute an action plan.
Well, we're in the middle of the year now, so it really makes sense to step back and see where you stand tax-wise, see what your income is like, how much tax has been withheld, if that's the appropriate amount, and then what steps you may want to consider taking to reduce your tax liability if it looks like it's out of whack.
Because most people are going to pay more taxes in 2013. The tax laws that were changed as of January 1st caused several additional tax rates to go into effect for higher income taxpayers, but also the Social Security tax cut went away. So effectively, everybody, for the most part, most working Americans are going to be paying a bit more. So the key is, how can you take action to keep more of that money in your pocket? Before you can do that, you need to know what the rules are.
Usually the first place to look for a tax deduction is a retirement plan. You know, are you eligible to contribute to a retirement plan at work? And if you are you taking full advantage of your employer's match, or maybe even
making a greater contribution than the full match to make sure that you're properly funding enough for your retirement and getting a tax deduction. The other thing it might be appropriate to look at is to determine whether or not a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k is appropriate. With a Roth, you don't get the deduction when the money goes in, but it builds up tax-free, and as long as you follow the rules, when you take it out, it's tax-free, so you never pay tax on that.
I always think it's a good idea to have options and have money in what I call different buckets. So if you have been contributing for years to a pre-tax retirement plan, like a traditional 401k or a traditional IRA, it may not be a bad idea to, as you suggested, consider putting money into a Roth, which is an after-tax bucket, because ultimately it gives you choices when you want to go pull money out.
And one reason Roths are a great idea for some of your funds is that there's a lot more flexibility in taking money out. With any type of qualified retirement plan, you typically have to take distributions once you reach age 70 and a half. With a Roth, you don't have that required minimum distribution, so you could actually never touch those funds and leave it to your heirs if you have enough other assets.
Another issue I think people need to be aware of if they are not already is that the 3.8% Medicare surtax actually kicks in 2013 and will probably take many people by surprise.
Even though it's called a Medicare surtax, previously Medicare was always assessed on earned income like salaries, but this 3.8% tax is actually on the investment income of high income earners.
And when we talk about investment income, it includes dividends, interest, capital gains, investment income that you would consider to be investment income, but it also includes rents, rental income, net rental income. And for people who have rental property, even business owners who own the building separately and their company pays rent, you may want to take a look at that and see if you need to adjust anything there, because you will pay that 3.8% surtax on that type of income as well.
So last year you may have had a highest marginal rate of 35%, and this year it's going to be more like almost 44% for federal purposes,
which includes the 39% maximum tax rate plus a 3.8. For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Tom, those lazy, hazy days of summer are right around the corner, and this is the time of year when many working parents wonder what they're going to do with their children all summer long while they're out of school.
Well, that's true, especially if you have not had daycare in your home or in a facility. You probably don't have daycare arranged. So many parents put their kids into a summer day camp.
They do, and summer day camps are great fun for the child, and you can potentially get a tax deduction, a tax credit, for the cost of the day camp if your child qualifies.
And generally, if the child is under 13 and both parents work or go to school full time and are otherwise qualified for the child care credit, then the day camp or summer camp will qualify as a qualifying expense.
And again, this is day camp. Overnight camps don't count. So if you are sending your child even to a soccer clinic or a basketball clinic, those types of camps may qualify for the child care credit. So you don't want to overlook that. Also nannies, I mean, more traditional daycare and child care counts too. But I think a lot of people don't realize that the costs of camps, maybe an art school or something like that, that they use for child care while the child's learning something, may also still qualify.
Well, and the credit can be fairly substantial. It can be at least 20% of the cost of the camp.
And it applies if you have one or two or more children. So there is some benefit, some real benefit, if you have multiple children going to the camps as well. If you're married, you must generally file a joint return to be able to take the tax credit. You cannot file married filing separate and be able to claim it. And that credit is computed on tax form 2441.
Well, and it's also important to point out that if you have a dependent care plan through your employer,
like a flexible spending account,
you can't spend money through that and get the credit, although generally those accounts are limited to $5,000. So if you have more than $5,000 of expenditures, you can still get some amount of credit for expenditures above that.
Up to $1,000 because the full amount is really capped at $6,000 for two or more children. You can find more information about the child care credit or dependent care credit by looking at IRS publication 503, and you can find that online at www.irs.gov. For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner, and Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Andy Shetterly. Andy owns a company. He's the founder of a company here locally called Peak Performance. And Andy, I love talking to individuals like you because you help people like me who have some type of pain because they are trying to stay active as a result of trying to stay in good shape, healthy. But you can't always have your cake and eat it too. It seems like there's always something that hurts. How do you help folks relieve that pain?
Well, my main focus is to work with people doing two types of therapy: neuromuscular therapy, which releases trigger points, which are account for about 75% or more of all individuals' pain.
What do you mean, trigger points?
A trigger point is where the muscle's been shortened, fattened, either through injury, repetitive stress, normal blood flow can't get through there, drops a lot of waste materials, and it's unhealthy tissue. And so with that lack of oxygen and blood flow to that area, the muscle tightens and spasms. So what we do is we find those key trigger points, release them through finger, thumb pressure, release those points, and within a very short period of time, that pain is released significantly. And then the other focus is adhesions, which is scar tissue, which is anytime you have an injury or, again, repetitive stress, inflammation occurs, lays down scar tissue, and that can entrap nerves, restrict relative range of motion in the muscle. So we release that through active release technique, and that person feels significantly better fast.
How did you get into this business in the first place? Because you started out in the military as a pilot.
There was a person I knew who was big into body work, and she said, Andy, I think you'll be a really good body worker. That night, I was doing a demonstration of Traeger psychophysical integration. That was back in 1987. From then on, I've been passionate about helping people out of pain, learning new techniques, and there's always something new to learn, and I'm never satisfied with, you know, what I know. There's always something more to help people.
So this is like a massage, but on steroids?
It is, because it is manual therapy. It is a massage, but it's very specific. It's very scientific. When I work with somebody, they're in control every second. So it can cause a little bit of discomfort. And I always mention that, you know, after that first session, you might be sore for 2 to 3 days. But then after that, you'll see the light at the end of the tunnel. I work with people every day that have been through every gamut, every type of therapy, whether it's PRP or trigger point injections or multiple types of therapy, and they do respond very positively.
Do you work with just normal people? Do you work with athletes? Of course, lots of people that are normal people try to do some athletic things that sometimes cause them problems.
I consider everyone an athlete, whether they're, you know, a grandparent trying to keep up with their grandchild and they can't maneuver the way they like to, or whether they're professional athlete, college athlete. So I treat everybody the same. So whatever that person needs to reach their peak level performance, that's what I do. And keep
Andy,
it in
if
that.
If folks listening today would like to learn more, get in touch with you, what is your contact information?
My contact information is my cell phone is 859-802-0448, and my email address is peakpro@me.com, and my website is peakperformancesportstherapy.com.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner, and Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Andy Shetterly. He is the owner and founder of Peak Performance. And Andy, you know, there's a lot of us that spend our time, like me, sitting often. And you wouldn't think that would be harmful to your health, but I've come to realize lately that it is, because I've got some back problems, some disc problems, and they attribute that to too much sitting. What is it I could do, or people like me could do, to prevent injury?
I think one of the main things as an office worker, if you're sitting at the desk for a long time, is perhaps once an hour you get up and you stretch. And so many times our shoulders are rolled in, and that's going to cause thoracic problems right down to the arm, carpal tunnel type syndromes. So what you're going to want to do is get up, stretch, just open up those pecs, get a band so you can actually do some resistance work at the same time you're getting that stretch in. That's going to really help relieve a lot of the tension that we have. There's different neck exercises that if you can just go chin to chest lightly, you know, extend back and then just to the right, just get that nice stretch and hold it for, you know, 2 to 3 seconds. Breathing is critical to everybody's pain. If you can breathe correctly from the diaphragm, fill up that belly first, you're going to reduce your pain, your stress level by a lot. Also, water breaks. You have to drink water like a fish. You take half your body weight, and that's your bare minimum of water intake that you're supposed to have.
Why is water so critical to good body health?
The fascia, which surrounds like a fishing net, every section, every part of our body, every muscular cell, everything, if that gets dehydrated, then it's going to compress and the muscles won't work as effectively. And also, it puts more pressure on the pain receptors. And so everything that you do with when you're dehydrated is amplified by a lot. And so just by drinking water, you'll reduce your pain by 20%. But if you do have a cup of coffee or a Coke or beer or whatever it might be, you have to times that by 2 and use that as added water intake. So even if you think you're drinking a lot, but you have a cup of coffee, well, that immediately puts you into a deficit.
Because coffee dehydrates your body.
Exactly.
You have a special technique that you're certified in called active release technique, ART.
Yes.
And that's different than just a typical massage movements, isn't it?
ART focuses on releasing adhesions, which is the key cause of from injury, repetitive use. It's scar tissue that's built up and actually creates a 2,000 pound per square inch force. It's like a horse standing right on that area. And so the restricted range of motion, the entrapped nerve. So what we would do is find the exact point where the adhesion is, put you through a range of motion, and it breaks up that scar tissue. And then you combine that with neuromuscular therapy trigger point work, and that'll take away, again, 75% of all chronic pain. So between those two methodologies, unless you have a structural problem, and even though you may have a structural problem that shows up on an MRI, you could have had that for the last 15, 20 years, but it's not really that that's causing your pain. It's the muscle contraction, the soft tissue. So there's 4 phases of rehabilitation. Normalize the soft tissue, stretch, strengthening, and then get back to your normal movement patterns. And that's what we really lack is normalization of soft tissue.
Andy, if folks listening want to get in touch with you, what is your contact information?
My website is peakperformancesportstherapy.com.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Tim Shepelak. Tim is an executive coach. He is the owner of the Growth Coach franchise. And one question that I know I struggle with often is, how do I get everything done in my day? How do I achieve greater success, but yet accomplish, what do they say about biting off more than you can chew?
Yeah.
How do you coach someone in helping them balance all of that?
Yeah, the way I would coach that, Crystal, is I need to help my client get underneath the surface of themselves to the behavioral level, because that's really the root of what's causing them to have too much on their plate in the first place. And quite frankly, when you dig into them and their situations, a lot of the things that are on their plate should not be on their plate. And we have to get to that behavioral reason that it's on their plate.
What if it's just because you love it and it's on your plate?
Well, and I recognize that. I deal with a lot of business owners, and they absolutely love their business, and to the point where sometimes they want to, what I'll call, over-participate in it. So I just say to them, look, it's up to you, really. It's your life. It's your business. You have the right to operate it any way you want to, as long as you recognize at times you might be suboptimizing it. I've had clients, for example, give themselves permission to spend X amount of time on the ground, so to speak, you know, doing a particular aspect of their business that they love. But then we say, okay, that time is up. Let's go off and do what we really should be doing, which is running the business, growing it, you know, being more strategic than that.
Well, I would think it's important to understand the mechanics of your business, but it's also important to think strategically. So is that the balance people sometimes have a hard time achieving?
They have a real hard time with it in practice. And so that, again, it's a behavioral opportunity for them. There are a lot of mindsets underneath those behavior patterns, and that's, as a coaching process, we need to get there to help them make those adjustments or modifications so they can get back up in the air, so to speak, where they need to be to run their business properly and with growth in mind.
So let's talk about mindset, because I personally think that is a critical factor in everything that we do in terms of how we behave.
Yes.
How do you go about getting underneath the surface and helping someone understand their mindset and what type of mindset is optimal?
The key tools that a coach has to offer are a methodology that involves great questions, the ability to really listen very deeply, and help clients discover by having those types of deep conversations. In addition to that, in my case, I also bring a lot of proprietary intellectual property into the coaching process for my clients. The combination of that and also utilizing good old-fashioned experience sharing really serves as three powerful catalysts that are synergized to give my clients the ability to really deeply discover what they need to discover. Then it's a matter of helping them figure out how to translate that into action and behaviors in a way that's acceptable to them.
I think often if people just take time to work with a coach, listen to podcasts, things like that, that help them think differently, it's a very powerful thing that they can do.
It is very valuable to take a time out, take a step back, and in my case, utilize good proven process to help you discover what's meant to be discovered.
So Tim, if someone listening today would like more information about the Growth Coach, learn more about coaching, where can they get that information?
The simple thing would be to Google the Growth Coach or Tim Shepelak, Shepelak, or simply call me. I'm happy to always have a cup of coffee with people. My number is 513-405-2421.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Tim Shepelak. Tim is with The Growth Coach. Tim is an executive coach. And Tim, I know you work with a lot of executives and business owners. What are some areas that you see people falling down on in terms of leadership or management?
The things I see a lot are things in the area of leadership. A lot of organizations do not have a real crystal clear, compelling vision that's been communicated to their organization all the way down the organization. And so that really leaves a lack of direction and maybe leaves too many things to chance, if you will. Getting a crystal clear vision communicated that's compelling and hits people in the heart, right? Another area I would comment on would be getting the culture the way you want it to be. Every organization obviously has a culture, but you can be more conscious and intentional about that culture as a leader and really develop it to an area where it will help you actually reach the vision and make strides in your company. I see that every day, the impacts of not having those two things where they need to be. I see those impacts every day in my coaching business.
Yeah, you can't just define it on paper and then put it on a plaque somewhere and ignore it.
No, you can't. And I'll tell you another related area that I see day in and day out, and I see the impact of not getting masterful at this area, and that is setting clear expectations and holding people accountable to those expectations. In my opinion, if you're a manager in a business, you should be masterful at that.
I think a lot of times people want and talk about holding people accountable. Mm-hmm. They talk about execution, but it's just so difficult for organizations to really take that proactive step and execute and then put those metrics in place to measure the results.
Yeah.
How do you get them off of that dime to really encourage them to take that step to be accountable?
What I actually do in my coaching process, I actually have a model that's very easy to implement and use in setting clear expectations and holding people accountable. And in learning that model, they have a roadmap to follow anytime they're in that situation where they need to do that, whether it's delegating something or just, you know, making people clear on what we need to accomplish and where and when and all of those particulars. even if I worked in an organization and I didn't have anyone reporting to me, I still have an impact on the colleagues that I'm working with. And so we have to set mutual expectations and we have to hold each other accountable because we have to work together.
And communicate.
And communicate. Absolutely. Big piece of that.
Well, and your compensation system has to reflect that, doesn't it?
It does. And that's probably another area where we see things go awry in companies. There's a misalignment of things like the compensation system, maybe the vision, the culture. We're not really aligned on all of these areas. Maybe our strategy doesn't really line up with where we're trying to go. What I do is I engage my clients in a coaching process that enables them to take a look inside themselves and their organization in a discovery process. It's much more powerful when you discover it on your own rather than have someone try to tell you what you need to do differently. I've been married 28 years. My wife tries to tell me all kinds of things. And I think I would be better off if I were able to discover those things, right?
Is she listening today? That's well, a little coaching for her.
That might have been a mistake on my part to say that, but so be it.
No, if people listening would like more information about the Goat Growth Coach, whether or not it's something that could benefit them, what is your contact information?
The simple thing would be to Google The Growth Coach or Tim Shepelak, Shepelak, or call me at 513-405-2421.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guests today are Dan Fennessy and Andrew Money, and they are the founders of a Cincinnati-based company called 779. And welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
So 779, I love the name. Maybe you can share a bit about what the company does and how you came to found it.
Oh, we're a video production company, primarily just video production, whether it's commercials, product demonstration videos, company profiles, anything video related we do. And we started the company, it started out as a hobby. It was one of those things that we did kind of as a night and weekend thing. And then eventually people offered to start paying us to do it. And so it just kind of went from there. We built up enough of a cushion and a client base to where we decided to quit our day jobs and go full time.
And the name comes from, Dan and I were both born in July of 79. So we thought, you know, everyone that is in video production and post-production, you know, it's always like Break-A-Leg Productions or Bright Light or, you know, something that has to do with the video realm. But we thought, let's just do something different to make kind of a nice conversation starter.
A lot of people, including me, would not necessarily think of Cincinnati as the place to do a lot of filmmaking and that type of thing. But you say that's absolutely incorrect.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that's happened recently that has given more energy and steam to that movement. One is that just the economic viability of shooting a film here. We all know that, you know, Cincinnati is cheaper than L.A., but until recently, it's been difficult to sort of cash in on a tax credit basis for that. But there were some tax credits that passed, I think, a year or two ago.
Yeah, there are tax credits out there for that.
Yeah, so that's brought a lot of film production here, and there's no shortage of creative folks in this area.
Yeah, and just speaking to kind of the creative vibe in general, you know, Cincinnati is a very creative city. There's a lot of marketing agencies, a lot of advertising agencies, a lot of design firms, and, you know, in our case, video production firms that are located here. I think a lot of that's because of Procter & Gamble and Kroger and Macy's. I mean, these are all companies that really do a lot of marketing, a lot of advertising, and they have a need for a lot of that kind of creative work.
Well, you guys have done video production. You've done commercials. You have any interest in feature films?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think anybody that does video production has an interest in feature films, and that's something that we are constantly working towards.
That's kind of how we started. We did some short films, and we had worked on a feature film a while back. But, you know, we've grown the commercial and web video part of our business as something that kind of helps us have a sustaining business. But certainly we want to grow to do feature films as well, in addition to the commercial work that we currently do.
Yeah, and the commercial work is really kind of also helps as a, it's sort of a foundation for getting into more video work. I mean, one thing that we learned early on trying to do short films and feature films was that a lot of times, you know, you have to have that resume before people are going to take you seriously.
Can you share some of the commercials that you guys are responsible for?
Yeah, we started off kind of our first name client that we had. We had built a friendship and a working relationship with Greg Hardman at Christian Moreline, and he kind of gave us our first opportunity to produce a broadcast spot that was a known brand. Since then, we've done stuff for Coney Island, University of Cincinnati.
Evenflow. We did an in-store video that helped them launch their Snuggly line of products.
Well, that's great.
We've worked with Cincy Tech, Procter & Gamble.
So if folks listening today would like to go out and start a film or have the need for a commercial or just learn more about 779, what is your contact information?
Well, our website is the numbers 779video.com. That's the best place to find information about us. A lot of our work is there, and there's some contact information all on our website.
Well, Dan and Drew, thank you for being our guests. I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guests today are Dan Fennessy and Andrew Money. They are the founders of 779, which is a video production and film production company located here in Cincinnati. I would think one of the hardest things in your business is all the changes that happen constantly in technology, not just for you, but for your customers. How do you keep up with all of that?
I think the biggest thing for me is that, you know, we started this company because we love making video, you know, animations, video, motion graphics, anything that can result in a video that communicates a message for the client. And it's really not work for us to keep up with those advances. I mean, we kind of eat, sleep, and breathe this stuff. So, you know, every day I'm reading industry blogs that talk about the, you know, the latest and greatest lenses and camera systems and editing systems. We just follow it because we love it.
Same thing with us with taxes, right? Can you imagine somebody really reading blogs and reading, doing taxes all the time? Right?
I can't imagine that.
So you mentioned the technology, and I will have to tell everyone, if you'd like to look at our website, which is cfscpa.com, you guys did our video, a couple of years ago now, when my hair was a little longer. It's wonderful. The thing that really impressed me about the way you all handled that was it's really not just about having a video on your website. It's about the content and the message and what you want to convey and the feeling that somebody coming to the website to take a look at what they're about to see, how they can actually experience that.
Yeah, it really allows people to meet you before they've actually met you. I mean, people who have seen the video, they know you. They feel like they've met you. They know a little bit more about you from having seen that video. And, you know, the other thing that's great about just having a video, not just on your website, but any part of your marketing materials, is the fact that people will read. If you give somebody a brochure, some people will take the time to actually read the whole thing, but more people would rather sit back, hit play, and watch a video.
Well, that's especially true with younger people now because they're so used to YouTube and all the videos, and that's how they get most of their information now.
Mm-hmm. And how long is a video in terms of the appropriate length to keep people interested and engaged?
Well, the good thing about the internet is it's not like television where you have 30 seconds or a minute. Like with the internet, you can go as long as you want. However, that doesn't mean that you can go as long as you want. We tend to tell people that the 2 to 3 minute range is kind of the sweet spot. You should definitely not go beyond that because once you start going past 3 minutes, people are getting tired.
And one thing that's really interesting is what you're seeing in like Netflix. They just launched their own original series, House of Cards, and you know, that was never on broadcast anywhere up until this point. Everything they've done has been something that's either been a feature film or, made for TV movie, which has a specific time segment to fit in. So the thing that I find kind of neat is that we're going to start to see a lot of overlap in terms of the constraints that have been removed from web video. That's also going to see those constraints removed for longer narrative content.
Well, as someone goes forth to really think about how they can use video for their business, for example, and you think about watching something on your desktop, your iPad, your smartphone, how do you encompass the technology and make sure that it's available in all of those mediums?
Our biggest challenge, and this is something I think we do well, is that we can determine, is this something that is going to be a 2 to 3 minute spot for YouTube, or is this something that needs to be 15 to 20 seconds for mobile? Because the way people use those devices, where it fits in their daily routine, that makes a difference as far as how you package that message.
And if folks would like to have more information about 779, what's your contact information?
You can go to the website. That's probably the best place. You can see some of our work there and get all the relevant email and phone number information. And that's 779video, just the three numbers, 779, and then video spelled out .com.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.